Black program with Fibber McGee and Molly. The makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coats present Marion and Jim Jordan as Fibber McGee and Molly, with Bill Thompson, the King's Men, and Billy Mills Orchestra. The show opens with Jericho. Reminder, this is Make a Pal of Your Wife Week. Send the little woman some flowers. Send her a box of candy. Take her out to lunch. Now, wait a minute. Let's see. Flowers would come to about $5. Candy about $2. Yes, you better make it lunch. Anyway, that's the way the Squire of 79 Wistful Vista has figured it out as we meet Fibber McGee and Molly.
Hey, Molly, I got an idea.
What about? And move over a little, please. I want to dust that chair.
I got an idea about lunch.
Well, let's not discuss lunch quite yet. I haven't had time to do the breakfast dishes.
Oh, well, let the dishes go.
I'll do no such a thing.
Oh, well, use some others. We got other dishes, ain't we?
No, we haven't.
We haven't? What become of that set of dishes we won at the Bijou Theater this winter?
Why, don't you remember?
Huh?
You stayed for the second show and threw them at the picture.
Well, I hope I didn't hurt Theta Barrow with that gravy boat. But look, Molly, what
McGee,
I was...
McGee, huh? Where did you lay that half-smoked cigar?
Oh, right there on the arm of the chair. Why? You want a drag on it?
Don't be silly. But is that any place to put a lighted cigar?
No, I guess it ain't that. I'll put it up here on the mantle where I can...
Put it in the ashtray. What's the ashtray for?
Oh, hairpins, rubber bands, stamps, apple cores, and all stuff like that there. There's never any room for ashes in it. Now, about lunch, Molly, I thought...
Well, if you're so anxious to have lunch, why don't you go out and wash the dishes?
Who, me? No, sirree. What do you think I am? A sissy? I don't wash no dishes. I hate washing dishes.
Huh. I suppose I like to, huh? No,
certainly not. And I hate to have you wash dishes, too, sweetheart. That's what I'm talking about. Nobody has to wash dishes around here today. I'm going to take you out to lunch.
Well, that's very nice of you. Now move a little whilst I dust... Oh, what did you say?
I says I'm inviting you out to lunch.
Well, heavenly days, Oh, you mean you're asking me to go out to lunch, dearie?
What's so strange about that? You afraid people will talk? I didn't just meet you on a streetcar, you know. We're married, remember?
But, dearie, this is so sudden. That is, if you can call it sudden after 15 years.
Look, Molly, I ain't the guy to be stood up on a date. You want to go or don't you?
Yes, and thank you, dearie, thank you.
Oh, forget it. It's nothing that any red-blooded, clean-living American boy wouldn't have done. Besides, this is Make a Pal of Your Wife Week.
Oh, it is?
Yep.
I thought this was Peel an Onion and Shed a Tear for the Boys in the Upper Brackets Week.
Well, come on, hurry up and get your hat.
All right. But it'll take me a while to put my face on. I'll be down in just a minute, David.
Ah, women. When a man gets a date with a gal, he pats himself on the back. When a gal gets a date with a man, she pats herself on the face. Come in.
dog out of nature. What's on your mind, old-timer?
Want to buy any soap, Johnny? I only got to sell 982 more bars, and I win a .22 rifle.
What you going to do with a .22 rifle when you get it?
I'm going to shoot the guy that talked me into trying to sell this bum soap.
I don't believe we want any today, old-timer.
Hey!
I'm afraid you come to the wrong house. As Robinson Crusoe says to his man Friday when he put down his telescope, no sale.
That's pretty good, Johnny. But that ain't the way I heard it. The way I heard it, one feller says to the feller, says, I only got to sell 982 bars of soap and I'll win a .22 rifle. Is that so, says t'other feller? What you gonna do with a .22 rifle? And t'other feller says, I'm gonna shoot the guy that talked me into selling this bum soap. I thought that... What's the matter, Johnny?
We just did that one a minute ago.
I know it. But darn it, Johnny, I'm tired. All day long going from door to door selling this bum soap. I know.
Well, that guy's proved one thing to me. If man sprung from monkeys, he must have had a Charlie horse at the time.
Who is that at the door, dearie?
Oh, well, I can describe him best, Molly, as the guy that always stands behind you when you're playing bridge and says, uh-uh, not that one. Well, come on, let's go.
My, I certainly appreciate this, McGee.
Oh, forget it. After all, make a pal of your wife week only comes once a year. It's a... Oh. Here comes Mrs. Uppington.
Heavenly days. Look at her, will you? She struts along like the world was her oyster, and she just cornered the Tabasco market. The hussy. Why don't she... Oh, how do you do, Mrs. Uppington? So nice to see you.
Oh, how do you do, Mrs. McGee? And Mr. McGee?
Hi, Uppity.
A lovely day, isn't it? I always try to take a long walk every day if possible. I get home simply brimming with a new energy and a new youth.
Oh, really? Who is he, Mrs. Uppington?
Who is who?
The new youth.
She means Billy Mills, Molly.
Oh.
Though his youth ain't awful new either.
But Billy is such a charming boy and a splendid musician. He came over last night and played the piano for me.
Yes?
Oh, all the lovely old songs of my girlhood.
Ah, oh. Wasn't that nice? And those Civil War songs were so inspiring.
yes, indeed they were. Civil War? Now, please, Mr. McGee,
Incidentally, Mrs. Uppington, speaking of romance, my husband has just dated me up for lunch. Won't you join us?
Oh, no, thank you, my dear. In fact, Dr. Mills and I are lunching together today.
Oh.
And I'm afraid we'd hardly patronize the same... we usually go to a very quiet, exclusive restaurant. I'm particularly devoted to a good French cuisine, you know.
Oh, is that so? I never ate one myself. Why don't you get the recipe, Molly?
Oh, Mr. McGee. Oh, you're so amusing, really. Get the recipe and drink my house roll.
Hey, what's so funny about that? Well, I've been an expert on food ever since my childhood. Even my teething ring was made from an old Goodyear recipe. Just to keep my eye on the cook, I had all my meals in the kitchen. Kitchenette McGee, I was known as. Kitchenette McGee, the cute and cuddly connoisseur of classy cooking, carefully counting the calories and carbohydrates contained in concoctions of cow, cooked in combination with carrots, cabbage, cauliflower, and corn. Considerable corn. Constant customer of cosmopolitan cafes and corner cafeterias, and my compliments were considered to cap the climax of a capable cook's career when I commended kindly on a clever consommé or a keen cutlet and crowned the king of the cake and crumblers from coast to coast as I'd cut and carve and crack and crunch. But excuse us, Huppy, we're late for lunch.
While we're waiting for Fibber and Molly to return, I'd like your attention for just a minute.
How often during the week do you say, if only I had more time for reading or seeing my friends or for just plain resting? Well, I can tell you how you can find a few extra hours by protecting your floors with that grand labor-saving floor polish Glow Coat. Most of you have heard me tell a very simple story of Johnson's self-polishing Glow Coat, how it requires no rubbing or buffing whatsoever, how it polishes itself in 20 minutes, leaving a sparkling, beautiful floor that's easy to keep clean. Spots and stains are quickly wiped up with a damp cloth. Now, you can use Glow Coat on all your floors, but by all means, use it in your kitchen. It brings out the colors of your linoleum, keeps it looking just like new, makes your kitchen a pleasanter place to work in. And many users tell us that it actually makes their linoleum last 6 times longer than a floor surface that is unprotected. So why not ask your dealer for a can of Johnson's self-polishing Glow Coat tomorrow? It's spelled GLO-COAT.
Where are you taking me out to lunch to, dearie?
Well, I don't know. I thought we might as well patronize Nick Topopoulos.
Oh. Well, anyway, I think it's real thoughtful of you to not want me standing over a hot stove and washing a lot of dishes today, McGee.
Oh, well, as long as you're my wife, Molly, you deserve the best.
Ah, do I really?
Yes, you do.
Well, then why are we eating at Nick Topopoulos' restaurant? Why don't we go to a decent joint?
Why, Molly, Nick is a friend of ourn.
I know, but ptomaine poisoning is an awful strain even on a beautiful friendship.
Well, shucks, I just thought that...
Hi, mister.
Oh, hello there, little girl. Where are you going?
Over to Willie Toops' house to play.
Oh, you are, eh?
Mm-hmm.
What you going to play, ring around the rosy and drop the handkerchief and stuff?
No, those are baby games, I bet you.
They are?
Hmm?
So ring around the rosy and drop the handkerchief for baby games.
I think so, too.
Well, what are you going to play?
Well, I just talked to Willie on the telephone, and he said if we can get a couple of other kids, we could play some bridge.
Bridge? At your age? Since, as the donkey says when he first seen himself in the mirror, I can't believe my ears.
Your nose is almost incredible, too, mister.
Say, you mean... Now, look, sis, what kind of bridge you kids going to play? Auction or contract?
London.
Oh. By the way, how's your little brother?
Which one?
The one that swallowed the 8 cents last week. Did they have him x-rayed?
Well, my mama says...
I said, did they have him x-rayed?
I don't know what you mean, I betcha.
Oh, yes, you do.
Oh, no, I don't.
Oh, yes, you do.
Oh, no, I... Well, what is it?
Look, sis, you know what an x-ray is as well as I do.
Gee, do I?
Sure you do. Come on now, what's that mysterious-looking thing that sees right through you and tells you what's the matter with you?
Your wife, I betcha. Go on, mister.
Come on, Molly. Let's get going. Topopoulos' restaurant is just around the corner here.
All right, but I warn you, McGee, his food is terrible.
Oh, I admit Nick ain't no Oscar of the Waldorf.
He certainly isn't. Even his short orders are long shots. Ah, but I'm not complaining, dearie. I still think you were sweet to ask me out to lunch. Now, I won't mind doing the dishes when we get home.
Oh, I'll do the dishes.
Oh, no, I'll do the dishes. It's no job for a man.
Oh, let me do them.
No.
Okay, you promise?
Certainly. Oh, look, there's Mr. Wilcox coming out of the restaurant. Yoo-hoo! Mr. Wilcox.
Oh, hello, folks. Where are you going?
I'm taking Molly into Nick's for lunch, Harlow. You know, this is Make a Pal of Your Wife Week.
Yes, I know.
Are you celebrating it, too, Mr. Wilcox?
Oh, not particularly.
What?
Well, why should I? To me, every week is Make a Pal of Your Wife Week. That's my job.
Uh-oh. Folks, if I ain't mistaken, you're about to hear the first floor show ever put on in front of a restaurant.
Well, you know what I mean. Any guy who sells a no-rubbing, no-buffing preparation like Johnson's self-polishing Glow Coat to the housewife is giving her something better than flowers or candy or diamonds. He's giving her more leisure, more pride in her home, and a lot easier job of housework.
Hey, Harlow.
What?
I don't mean to change the subject.
As if you could.
But do you always eat here at the Poplis' restaurant?
Sure. I sell him so much Johnson's Wax and Glow Coat, I know he's got the cleanest place in town.
Is that so?
Go take a look at his kitchen sometime. You could eat off the floor.
It seems to be a pretty busy place.
I'll say it is. I couldn't even find a place to sit down in there. I ate in the kitchen.
No, they set a table for you out in the kitchen?
Oh, no, I ate off the floor. See what I mean? Well, so long, folks.
S.C. Johnson and son sure own a controlling interest in that guy. Well, come on in, Molly.
Lead on, me pal of the week.
Ah, good day, sir, and madam. The name, please.
What you mean, the name?
Big pardon, sir, but we're very busy today. Did you call up and reserve a couple of stools?
Well, heavenly day.
A maitre d' hash joint. First thing we know, Nick will start hiring red caps to carry the tea bags.
Just give us a stool or a booth anywhere, Mr. Headwaiter. We're not fussy.
Sorry, madam. It's impossible at the moment. We're extremely busy. However, if you'd care to wait a few moments in the cocktail lounge.
What cocktail lounge?
Right next door, sir. Of course, it isn't quite finished, but it's very amusing to watch the steam shovel.
Stop shooting the malarkey to us, Sharky, and call Mr. DePoplin. We're friends of his.
Oh, there he is, over there by booth number 5.
Sorry, sir. Mr. DePoplis can't leave those patrons for the moment.
Why not?
Their table wobbles a bit, and he's keeping his toe under it. Ah, they're leaving. Mr. DePoplis.
Yes, what is being... Oh, hello there, Cupid. Hello, Fisher.
Hi, Nick.
Welcome to my restaurant, sir. I didn't any more expect to see you in here today than I can shake a stick at.
Well, you seem to be doing quite a business, Mr. DePoplis.
Oh, yes. Tuesday is as busy with the DePoplis restaurants as it is with you, Fisher, and for the same reason. Baked clams. But I'm glad you're patronizing my places instead of that one across the street.
What's the matter with the place across the street, Nick? Food no good?
Oh, the food is being ugly duckly, Fisher. But the service.
Oh.
The service is being as slow as molassy puss in Jenny Wimber.
Oh, is it really?
Yes, I can't stand it much longer. Every time I send over there for my lunch, it is taking them half an hour to bring it across the street. If I don't look out, they're liable to lose a good customer.
Well, look, Nick, I brung Molly in here on account of it's being Make a Pal of Your Wife Week. Can't you give us a booth right away?
Why, Fizzer, for a good friend of mine like you, I certainly don't think I can right away. But the very first one that is being available, somebody else will probably get that for us, too.
Well, how about the one you just left, Mr. DePoplis?
Oh, sure. Why don't you sit there? Head waiter!
Yes, Mr. DePoplis.
Give these people booths numbers 5, so they have a good view of the entertainment, if we only had some. I hope you're enjoying your lunch, Cupie and Fizzer, in spite of the food.
Well, thanks, Nick.
Step right this way, sir.
Yes, sir.
Allow me, madam.
Allow you what?
Why, allow me to hold your chair for you.
So you can pull it out from under me when I sit down. Oh, no, you don't. Get away from there.
Yes, madam. I'll send a waitress right over. Hey, Blondie, shag a setup for number 5.
Look at this silverware, McGee. 4 forks and no knife or spoon.
Well, that's class, Molly. Them are your salad fork, entree fork, cocktail fork, and pie fork.
Well, they're all alike.
What's the difference? Everything in here tastes alike. Oh, here's the waitress. Hi, sis. What's good today?
Oh, hello, folks. I haven't seen you for a long time. We have pot roast, lamb stew, weenies, and sauerkraut. That's a good-looking fur coat you have on, Mrs. McGee. Pork shanks, corned beef, and cabbage, only it's all gone. Spanish omelet and veal loaf. What on earth do you suppose Sumner Wells is cooking up over there in Europe?
Pot roast.
Same here.
I didn't know you was working here, Mrs. Wearybottom. How do you like being a... How do you like being a croquette croupier?
Well, cut it out now. Well, frankly, Mr. McGee, I don't think I'll be here very long. The chef is one of those fresh guys. Every time I put in an order, he sticks his head out of that little window and winks at me. 2 orders of pot roast. And if he does it just once more, I'm going to drop whatever I'm doing and quit. And there he goes. He just did it again. And I quit.
Well,
the jungle. Nellie was a lady. Last night she died. Oh, Miss Hannah, if you dare to see me, but there's always Dinah, sweet old Dinah. I'm going to make her my bride. Whoa, whoa, Dinah, is there anyone finer in the state of Carolina? If there isn't, you know her. You know her, then bring her up shore to me. Dinah, Dinah Lee, with the Dixie eyes blazing. How I love to sit and gaze into the eyes of Dinah Lee. Every night, why do I start shades of fright? Because my dynamite going to change your mind about me.
Now don't you ever go and change your mind about me,
Dinah Lee, sweet Dinah. If you wandered off to faraway China, I would hop a steaming ocean going liner, woo, just to be with Dinah Lee.
Thank you, Kingsman. That was great. How's the pot roast, Molly?
Oh, it's not bad, dearie. I think I could stand any kind of food as long as I didn't have to wash the dishes afterward. It's so nice to get out once in a while.
Partial dependence, cigarette tax, 18 cents a day, 365 times 18 cents. Reasonable depreciation on real estate.
Oh, look, McGee, there's Mr. Gildersleeve sitting over there.
Huh? Where? Oh, yeah. He's figuring his income tax on the tablecloth. Hey, Gildersleeve.
Oh, my goodness, look what I did.
Oh, sorry we startled you, Mr. Gildersleeve. Did you spill something on you?
Hello, Mrs. McGee. Hello, McGee. No, but I just spilled ketchup all over my deductions. Oh, well, I was in the red anyway.
You eat here all the time, Gildy?
Oh, yes, indeed, McGee. I come here because they have pies just like my mother used to make.
Oh.
Oh, poor mother. She certainly baked terrible pies. In fact, she still does.
Well, then why don't you eat your pie over at her house?
I can't. She sells them all to Nick.
Well, thanks for the warning, Gildersleeve. Anything I hate, it's bum pastry.
Now, look here, McGee. You can't talk like that about my mother's cooking.
Well, all I said is what you says yourself.
Copycat?
I ain't either a copycat.
You are, too.
Oh, now,
oh, yeah,
stop it.
Well, knock that bowl of soup off my shoulder.
Stop it now. Finish your lunch, McGee. And do you eat in here all the time, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Oh, no, no. Just at mealtime. Am I hot tonight?
Don't be so fresh, Throcky. She was asking if you was a regular patron here.
Well, up to now I have been, McGee. But by George, I'm getting pretty tired of their stinginess.
Stinginess, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Yes. They only serve two slices of bread. Oh. Imagine that. Two slices.
Hmm.
I like bread. And two slices isn't enough. I've complained and complained. And they won't do a thing about it.
Pardon me, Mr. Gildersleeve. Huh? Mr. Populous has heard about your trouble with the bread, so he sent you this.
Oh, look at that, Molly. A whole loaf of bread cut in two.
Oh.
That's just what I've been talking about. Look at it. You see what I mean? Two slices again. Where's that Depopolis? Let me talk to that field valet.
Well, McGee, I still wish we'd have gone to the Giltmore Grill. I imagine that's where Billy Mills took Mrs. Uppington.
Hmm?
She's so uppity about everything. Why, she wouldn't think.
Hey, Molly, Molly, listen.
Oh, William, this is such fun, really. Isn't it just too quaint eating in a place with paper napkins? Just like a picnic.
Sure is, Bubbles. This joint gets more like a picnic grove every day. Even this finish tastes like poison ivy.
But maestro. I liked it so much better than that little place you took me to last night. You know, the place built like a railroad car.
Oh, you mean Donovan's Diner? Say, that guy slaps together the best corned beef hash in town, Snooky.
Oh, really? I wasn't criticizing the food, my dear. Only I forgot I was not on a real railroad train. And when I opened the door to go back to the club car, I fell right into a garbage can. Oh, dear.
You hear that, McGee? And her telling us about what an exclusive place they were going to have lunch.
Oh, well, I guess she found out it's hard to tie a feed bag on over a high hat. You want any dessert, Molly?
Oh, no, thank you, McGee. I'm finished.
Yeah, me too. Hey, waiter, give me the treasurer's report.
Yes, sir. Here you are, sir. Two lunches at 65 cents, $1.30. Cover charge, 10 cents each, $1.50.
Okay, but I just... Uh-oh.
What's the matter, McGee?
I left my money home on the dresser. Let me take a couple of bucks, Molly.
I haven't a dime with me, dearie.
Oh. Now, give me the check, Bud. I'll sign it.
Sorry, sir. Against the rules.
Huh?
You'll have to get it okayed by Mr. DePopulos.
Huh? Oh, okay. Excuse me, Molly. I'll be right back. Hey, Nick. You know what I done? I left the house without any money. Recipe for a pork pie, Chef. First, you cut the pork into cubes, see? About an inch square. Then you rub your pan with garlic. Wait a minute. How are you doing, Molly?
Ah, dear. Mr. DePopulos says we can go when I finish these 12 stacks of dishes, McGee.
Oh, that's swell. Well, take your time, Molly. I'm in no hurry. What was I saying, Chef? Oh, yeah. Then you take about 2 pounds of breadcrumbs. Mix it.
And Molly will be back in just a moment, which leaves me just time to remind you that in these bad weather days of March, your floors, furniture, and woodwork need the protection of genuine Johnson's wax. Floors that have been regularly Johnson waxed laugh at wet, muddy footprints. A damp cloth removes the dirt, and the rich beauty of the waxed floor remains intact. That's why we say, when you walk on wax, you save your floors. For the same reason, woodwork and furniture that is Johnson waxed is more beautiful, easier to keep clean, and guarded by the tough wax shield against scratches, dirt, and smudgy fingerprints. Have you examined recently a can or bottle of genuine Johnson's wax, either paste or liquid? You'll find listed right on the package more than 100 labor-saving uses for this famous wax polish. Read this list carefully. It will save you many hours of work throughout the year and add greatly to the beauty of your home.
Now, look, McGee. Next year, when Make a Pal of Your Wife Week comes around, leave me know so I can buy a pair of rubber gloves. The idea of making your own wife wash dishes in a public restroom.
Now, wait a minute, Molly. That ain't fair. How did I know Nick would be so dead ready?
Well, we shouldn't have gone there in the first place.
Huh?
Any restaurant that the government forces to serve bicarbonate of soda with every businessman's lunch...
Hey, wait a minute. Why does the government do that?
Well, they're trying to relieve the distress of the small merchant.
Good night.
Good night, all.
This is Harlow Wilcox speaking for the makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's self-polishing glow coat, inviting you all to be with us again next Tuesday night. Good night.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.